It's another Saturday. Weeks are flying by like the little white lines on the highway. I've come to you on this show from a lot of places, from California, Phoenix, all over the place, Hawaii. We've got going here today, I'm coming at you from Westminster, Maryland, up here. We're the home of one of our guests for this show. We've got a double header for you. Incidentally, this is Tom Cryer, and you are in the life-free zone, trying to do two or three things here at a time. It's probably not good for a single-tasking piece of equipment like me. And what basically we've got going today is we have two good examples of why we have to take a stand in this country. The first hour today, we're going to have on Jeff Dickstein. The second hour, we're going to have on John Kottmeyer, two of the heavyweights in the tax honesty community. John Kottmeyer, of course, as you know, is the head of and fiduciary of Save a Patriot Fellowship, which is now under assault. We are now asking the Supreme Court to take his case up and review it. Jeff Dickstein is defending Bill Benson in the defense of his book concerning the ratification or not of the 16th Amendment. And he'll be on during our first hour and talk about that case and where it's going and where we're going with it. If we allow these cases to go where they want to pull us, then this isn't Bill Benson and this isn't John Kottmeyer who are at risk here. This is all of us. Because if they can shut Bill Benson up, and if they can shut John Kottmeyer up, then we're next. You and I don't have any freedom. You and I don't have any liberty. If we don't have the right to communicate with each other and exchange information and ideas, we don't have much to work with. So, you know, we need to be up on what's happening with these people. We need to be aware of it. We need to be ready to come to their assistance in any way that we can, because they're on the front line fighting for our rights as well as theirs. And it's a tough world out there whenever you've got something as big and powerful as the United States government that has declared war on freedom and declared war on our Constitution and declared war on the underpinnings of that Constitution, natural law, because that's really their ultimate objective, is to eliminate natural law, and because that's where your rights come from. We don't owe our rights to the Constitution or to the government, and it doesn't like that. It wants us to be at their mercy, us to get to depend on them for what rights they decide we get. Natural law tells us we have those rights when we're born. It tells us that we, you know, have those rights guaranteed by the Constitution to protection against the government. And what basically we're up against now with both Jeff Dickstein and his defense of Bill Benson and John Kottmeyer and his defense of Save a Patriot Fellowship is your right to speak freely, your right to write and to publish and to print, your right to express your views, your right to learn and to share your knowledge. All of those rights are in the balance here. All of them are at risk. And so whenever we get back from the break, we're going to have, of course, Jeff Dickstein, and then the following hour we'll have Mr. John Kottmeyer. You can call in. We'll probably take calls in the second half hour of each of these 2 hours, but you might want to make a note. It's going to be 1-800-313-9443, and we'll be back with Jeff Dickstein in just a minute.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Zone. This is Tom Cryer, and we are, we've got a super, super heavyweight on for a guest today. Everybody knows who Jeff Dickstein is. Jeff is currently defending, Bill Benson and the defense of his writings in connection with the ratification of the 16th Amendment. And, I don't need to give you a bio on this gentleman because everybody knows who he is. Hello, Jeff. How are you today?
Hi, Tommy. Doing well. Thanks. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's warmed up. It was snowing here, this morning, believe it or not. And, now it's shirt sleeve weather outside and it's beautiful. The sun's out and there's no cloud in the sky. They're just about as psychotic up here with the weather as they are with the people, aren't they?
I'm
awfully close to Washington, D.C., so it gets a little bit, what was that show that was going around with Mueller and all that bunch, X-Files? You know, things get a little weird, eerie, when you get close to Washington, D.C.
I hear you.
compasses start to spin. So tell us, where are things right now with the Bill Benson case, and where are things right now with Jeff Dickstein?
Well, the Bill Benson litigation ended in the district court a little less than a month ago, when the district court issued an injunction preventing Bill from, quote, falsely telling people the 16th Amendment was not ratified. And today we filed our notice of appeal, and the next step is to take the case up to the appellate court, where I'm going to ask the Court of Appeals to certify a couple of specific questions to the Supreme Court, because the courts of appeal believe they're bound by Supreme Court precedent with respect to whether the courts can even address the issue of the ratification of the 16th Amendment.
Well, is there any Supreme Court precedent on whether the courts can address the issue of ratification of the 16th?
Congress passed the revised statute, Section 205, way back when. And what that statute says is that once the Secretary of State receives certificates of ratification from the various states that he verifies, and he pronounces the proposed constitutional amendment to be ratified, that then becomes final. And in Field versus Clark, Lesser v. Garnett, and Coleman v. Miller, the Supreme Court, in total getting away from the requirement that the Supreme Court, as part of the third branch of government, is supposed to oversee the other two branches, held that the ratification of a constitutional amendment is not a judicial issue, but it's a political question, and therefore the courts aren't going to look into it, regardless of the facts showing that the amendment has not, in fact, been ratified.
Were those cases all Supreme Court cases?
Yeah, all three of them. Lesser v. Garnett.
Because, you know, those really do, those fly in the teeth of a typical position of the Supreme Court, that it is the ultimate arbiter of issues concerning whether or not the Constitution has been honored, has been complied with. I mean, if everything becomes a political question and not subject to judicial review, then why would not proclamations of a new law by Congress supersede that right of the Supreme Court to determine whether or not the law is or is not in compliance with the Constitution, including the terms of the Constitution, dealing with ratification of an amendment?
Well, shortly after our republic was founded, the Supreme Court, in the landmark case of Marbury versus Madison,
right,
clearly held what the function of the Supreme Court was, which was to roughshod over the two branches of government and ensure that a law passed was not constitutional.
In other words, it established the concept of judicial review. And that is that whatever the executive branch does is subject to the Supreme Court's right and authority to contrast and compare that action with the limitations and the authorizations and empowerments of the Constitution. Same thing with respect to Congress.
Not only the executive branch, but also the legislative branch.
That's right. That was my point, that both, and as well as the Congress. And this was an act, the one that's in question here isn't an act of Congress, but rather an act of the legislative branch through Knox in his proclamation that the 16th Amendment is hereby proclaimed to be, to have been ratified, and it's now part of the Constitution.
Well, Congress enacted the revised statute, Section 205, which is known as the Enrolled Bill Rule, and then Knox used that to declare that the amendment had been ratified when, in fact, less than 36 states actually voted for ratification. He did that based on a presumption. What had happened was that when Knox received certificates of ratification from the various states that contained different language than that proposed by Congress for the 16th Amendment, And so he sent off for an opinion from the Solicitor of the United States.
I've seen
and
that.
Rather than looking at the actual legislative journals, Solicitor presumed that because states don't have power to modify the proposed language, that they didn't. And he blamed the errors on the certificates of ratification on mistakes made by the various clerks of the state legislature, in other words, holding that all of them were incompetent and couldn't copy words from one piece of paper to another.
Right.
So he relied on the presumption, and what Bill Benson proved is that the presumption was absolutely false.
Well, you know, if you stop and look at it, there's others as well. I mean, you know, for example, in this same solicitor's opinion, he talks about not just the acts of the clerks in keeping the minutes and certifying the records and determinations of the legislatures, but he also went into the fact that he claimed that these legislatures didn't have authority to impose conditions and alter the proposed amendment. And therefore, the alterations, you know, the adoption as altered or on conditions, that the conditions were null. When in fact, whenever you have an alteration, that consists of a counteroffer. And so what it basically is not an acceptance. If you think of it in terms of a contract, and I know I'm getting on dangerous territory because a lot of people have been abusing contract law in this community, but that adoption itself, the ratification wasn't complete. And he held that this part, he just wants to exclude the part that had the conditions or the limitations and say, well, we're going to take the nugget, but not the conditions that it came with. And that just flies into the teeth of every piece of legal work I've ever done or seen done.
Well, we have bicameralism, and that consists of two houses of Congress having to vote on the exact same piece of legislation in the exact same language. And if, let's say that the bill is proposed in the Senate, it goes to the House, and the House doesn't like it, it goes through committee and they change it, that change then has to go back to the Senate, and the Senate has to vote on the change. If the Senate refuses to vote on the change, then
there's no law. That's right.
And that's the same concept.
The very same. It's absolutely, and it's the same thing, too, with respect to the section that you're talking about, the posting law, that, you know, if you had Congress had passed a law that was clearly unconstitutional, and at the tail end they put a provision on there, usually where we put our savings provision when we draft statutes, you know, the Supreme Court shall not have authority to review this. How far do you think that would get them?
You know, my position for years has been that our Constitution has been overthrown by the politicians, and the enrolled bill rules are, and those cases are pristine examples of that. In other
right.
words, the Supreme Court in Field versus Clark says it's too impossible to believe that a president and secretary of state might have lied. And then therefore, out of due preference to the political branches of government, we're not going to look into it. Well, what you have then is...
it's called comedy between branches or honor among thieves.
Yeah, pretty much. And what that does is it allows the Constitution to be amended by the presumption of a politician, even when you can prove that that presumption is false, as opposed to actual ratification by three-quarters of the states.
Right.
So here you have the enrolled bill rule, the statute, revised statute 205 as applied in violation of Article 5 of the Constitution. That's one of the cases I want to certify up to the Supreme Court.
Right.
And along with a couple of others, in order to get this enrolled bill rule overthrown.
Yep. Now, so where is it now? You've got it, you have appealed or filed your notice of appeal. You know, and we're going into a break. When we get back, I want to talk about exactly where your case is and where it's got to go and what has to happen. And Mike, we'll be right back here in just a minute on the Live Free Zone.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic Priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Welcome back to the Live Free Zone. We've got on Jeff Dickstein talking about the Bill Benson case, and we're going to take your calls starting after the bottom of the hour. 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. You have a question for Jeff? You have a comment? You want to pledge a $50,000 contribution, give us a call and get on the air here and give Jeff your question or your comment or that $50,000 pledge, too. It would be nice, too. But, Jeff, right now you have filed a notice of appeal with the Seventh, and you're asking them to certify this to the Supreme Court. Now, to me, that means what it's, I just said, and like what it means to you. But I'm not so sure everybody understands what that means. In other words, if they certify the issue to the Supremes, this goes to the Supreme Court. Just as if the Supremes had granted a writ of certiorari, or a certification of the issue to their docket, you're going to, if you get this certification for the Seventh, then you're going to the Supreme Court. This issue is going to finally get heard by the Supreme Court as to whether or not they can gag people for this and whether or not they have to give them a hearing, because that's the real popular thing now is to use a summary judgment because they don't have the evidence to go to court, and you do have the evidence, so what else can they do? They can't have a trial, so they have a summary judgment.
There's two procedures that could be utilized. The first is to file the action in the Court of Appeals and then move the Supreme Court to take cert over it.
Right.
Second is to file the action in the Court of Appeals and then ask the Court of Appeals to certify a couple of questions to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, if they grant the certification, will answer those questions, send the answer to those questions back to the Court of Appeals, and then the Court of Appeals applies those answers to resolve the case.
Right.
I've decided to go with the latter because at the current time I have neither the political support or the funding to prosecute the appeal properly in front of the Supreme Court, number one. And number two, this allows us to better define the issues, and it buys us more time, and it also gives us a second bite at the apple.
You get another shot again if they say no and you go on with the appeal and the appellate result isn't favorable, then you get another shot with a writ app.
Right.
It's why not take this shot? I think it's great. But, I mean, that's what we're looking at doing is getting these issues up before the Supreme Court. And particularly, you know, you and I were talking earlier today, this isn't just First Amendment. This has to do with due process because in your case, as was in the case that we're going to be talking about with John Cottmeyer next hour, the court decided to not allow the defendant to put on his case, refused to allow the defendant a hearing of his evidence, and just as a matter of law, so to speak, determined that the facts either were what the court says they were without evidence or were irrelevant.
What we did is the government filed a motion for summary judgment, and part of their claim, part of the one thing they had to prove was that Bill Benson was making a false statement, that he knew or should have known that the statement was false. So what we did is we submitted, in response to the motion for summary judgment, a statement of uncontested facts. This is called the Rule 56.1 pleading.
Right.
And we those, and we pointed out, because I had previously convinced the district court that it needed to allow me to fully brief the 13th or the 16th Amendment issues, well, referencing that brief, we pointed out various facts showing that several states intentionally amended the proposed amendment. The government came back, rather than admitting or denying those facts, moved to strike our facts as irrelevant and immaterial. And the court granted that. So, in essence, the court struck our facts from the record and then decided to rule against Bill that, as a matter of law, then, he was making a false statement when the truth is he was making an absolute true statement.
Right.
That's why this litigation, from my perspective, is so critical. You know, when you listen to this radio show and to other radio shows, it's clear that the government is doing a lot of things they're not entitled to do.
Now,
and the only remedy that we have is to go out and talk about it and try to educate the people so that they're willing to do something about it.
Well, what can people do? I mean, they can't get in there and go to court with you, Jeff. They can't go in there and write your briefs for you. They can't file your papers for you. What can people do to help?
I was alive during the 60s, and even though I spent a good amount of that time in Vietnam, I think the civil rights movement showed precisely what the people can do and how a political movement that's tied in at the same time with significant court action can force the government to change their mind and take a different position.
Which is exactly what Truth Attack is following, the civil rights action model. You know, propound the issue, stimulate public discussion, cause a consensus to form, public opinion evolves, public opinion is translated into political action. We're going into a break, Jeff, and when we get back, we'll start taking calls. but I want you to tell us what you need from us to support this effort on your part. We'll be right back here on the Live Free Zone.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
And we're back after that brief break. We've got Jeff Dickstein on. And Jeff, what can our audience, what can other people do to help advance this case that is so vital, really, for all of us?
I have on my website, which is jeffdickstein.com. It's JeffDickstein.
Named after you, isn't it?
Imagine that.
Imagine that.
I actually had a volunteer build the website for me, and he just used my name. I didn't have a lot to say about it, but
I think it's great. I think they ought to name a website after you.
There you go.
Ahead. I couldn't help that. You know me. All right. So.
And anyway, on the first page of the website, I have a link called A Call to Arms.
Mm-hmm.
And if you click on that, I have a brief history of the lawsuit, a brief history of what the issues are. And then I have a bullet list of numerous things that people can do to help, whether it's and hosting a website, creating YouTube videos, posting blogs, producing Squidoo lenses or other articles, setting up donation sites, obtaining high search engine rankings, putting together letter writing campaigns, writing motions for leave to file amicus briefs, and writing the briefs themselves, and getting them posted on the various websites, contacting groups or individuals to get them to file amicus briefs at the right time. You know, the Ron Paul campaign showed us how information can be spread rapidly over the Internet and how money can be raised. And rather than reinventing the wheel, I imagine a large number of the listeners know people that are involved in the Ron Paul campaign with the various meetup groups. And if we can only get the Ron Paul campaign interested in supporting this litigation or advertising it, we would be over the top with the public support to make the change.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's lots and lots and lots of things that people can do. The other critical aspect at this point in time is we need financing to continue the lawsuit, and there's a link on my website under Donate. Some of the things that we need financing for is support for the attorneys involved. I've been representing Bill Benson Free for the last 3 years, and it's getting tough to pay rent when you don't get paid for your work. And it's not like I live extravagantly, but, you know, it'd be nice to pay the bills, to buy computer paper and ink, pay the phone bill, those types of things. What I'd love to do is run a full-page ad in USA Today and other places to educate the people and to get them to file amicus briefs. I'd also like to post ads in the various bar journals of each state and the CPA journals so we can garner support there.
Well, all of these take money, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. A critical thing that I need is a list of people that I can email, or groups such as the American Bar Association, the Trial Lawyers Defense Association. I'm not even sure of what their names are. But, you know, if people could do some research and find the names of where you write to ask these people to file amicus briefs, that would be great. I'd love people to contact public radio stations and set up interviews for us so we can get this this word out to more than just the people that listen to these types of programs. You know, it's pretty much a captive audience. What we need to do is to take this national. That's where the Ron Paul campaign comes in. So to
right.
the extent we can piggyback off of Ron, and, you know, after all, his campaign is to do away with the Federal Reserve Board and the income tax, so it goes hand in hand. This is a perfect case, a perfect opportunity. And if we don't come together, if we don't put our differences aside, if we can't unite to make this happen, then I am convinced it's just a matter of time before, and a short matter of time, before even people like Ron Paul isn't going to be allowed to campaign because his message is so anti-government. This is just a critical case at a critical time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when the government accuse you of lying and prevent you from putting in facts to show you're telling the truth, then we don't have a court system at all.
They're not only attacking the Constitution and our freedom that it's supposed to protect, but they're attacking the control not only of us but of reality. They're controlling what is and isn't truth according to dictates of the court. And that's just something that's just absolutely shocking. We've got to do something about it. Now, we do have a call. If you've got want to call in, you got a question or a comment for Jeff, you can call in and participate on the show here with, like I've always said, you're my favorite guest. I shouldn't have said that while Jeff was here because I didn't want to hurt his feelings, but it's true. But you give us a call. 1-800-313-9443. We do need to go to the phones, and we've got a caller waiting, Joe Trucker. Everybody knows who Joe Trucker is. He's not from any state. He's from all of them. Which state are you in today, Joe?
Well, I'm actually at the house this morning. This afternoon. We got home about an hour ago.
All right. New Jersey yesterday, Virginia today. So what have you got on, Joe?
Okay, well, I just want to pass a little news on to the listeners. I spoke with Lindsey Springer yesterday. He caught me coming out of New Jersey after I spoke to you when you were with John. He called me and told me that earlier this week, well, you got to go back earlier last month, the Patriot stay was sent in to Justice Stevens through the Seventh Circuit, and it was turned back. And they resent it to, they had the opportunity to send it to each justice, and they sent it, the next justice they sent it to was Justice Ginsburg. She received the brief earlier this week, like Monday or Tuesday, and the very next day she ordered a full court conference on the 22nd of this month. And Lindsay felt that was pretty significant that they, you know, brought it up so quickly. This is a stay that would get, I believe his name was Daniel Patrick, I'm not sure of his first name, out of jail in Indiana. And it's based upon the Paperwork Reduction Act. And you can find that, that stay is written at penaltyprotester.com. I told Lindsay, asking if it was okay to let people know. He said, yeah, he wasn't into just advertise everything, but he said if I had a chance to let people know, he thought it was pretty significant. And I thought I'd bounce it off you to ask you what you thought about Justice Ginsburg taking it so quickly.
Well, you know, they take these things either to slap them down or to pick them up. But the fact that they're even going to public conference only is, I would call it more encouraging than discouraging, wouldn't you, Jeff?
Well, it's always good that they're willing to at least look at it as opposed to not look at it at all.
And yeah. they may be wanting to pick it up in order to dispose of it as well. You just don't know what the motives are. You don't know what, you can't second guess the court. It's kind of like second guessing a jury. You just have to wait and see what happens.
Well, I thought, you know, that they could go through each justice and they could have all turned it down. And then it would have just died there, except for maybe a letter of reconsideration. But the writ of certiorari is due next week on his appeal. And, you know, I just thought it was pretty neat that Justice Ginsburg, one of the most liberal justices on the court, read it. And, you know, sort of ordered a conference by the 22nd this month. I also note that, you know, she was overturned by Judge Easterbrook in the Seventh Circuit, which is below her in the Ratcliffe case or Ratliff case or something like that. So she may have something personal in stake here. And I just thought it might be some important news.
Well, I appreciate you passing it on. And everybody, you know, they'll get the word out that things are happening, and we've got several, you know, aircraft at fairly high altitude right now. You've got John Kottmeyer's application for writs is pending. You got Jeff is now looking at trying to get take a leapfrog, jump straight up from the seventh, and then you have this PRA issue, which is advancing to some extent, at least to a conference. What are your thoughts on that, Jeff? You got anything to offer?
Well, the PRA is something I have a huge interest in. I was the attorney who filed the first PRA lawsuit when I was up in Alaska, which gave rise to the United States versus Smith case. I knew Bob and Roberta Blair, who were miners in Cooper's Landing, Alaska, spent some time out there on their mining claim, and I wrote the original pleading to dismiss the criminal case against them for failing do a plan of operation on the grounds that the plan of operation didn't comply with the Paperwork Reduction Act. So I did a lot of work on this early on and then moved off to other things. So I'm glad to see that Lindsay is picking up on it. And after Congress amended the law some, it's still alive and well, which would just be a spectacular thing.
Yeah, you know, you and all of us remember and we'll never forget the newscast coming over from Berlin whenever they started to tear away at the wall. And you had these hundreds of people pounding away on that wall with hammers that you knew weren't going to take the wall down. But with all of them pounding away for long enough, the wall came to pieces and the wall came down. And so we're all pounding from a different direction. We're all pounding at the same objective, and we just need to keep the hammers going, and those hammers can't go for nothing, so it's going to take, and we need some assistance here. I'm going to make a pitch here for Jeff. You know, Jeff needs some support, folks. He needs some help. He's up there. He's in the battle. This isn't an after-the-fact recovery thing. This isn't a fundraiser so that we can go do some research and see if we can find something. This is needing bullets because he's actually in combat. I've compared my situation earlier on to Bastogne, where I was surrounded, and I wanted to continue the fight, and it was an airdrop that saved Bastogne. The soldiers there fought and held that line, but nobody knows what would have happened if the weather hadn't cleared that one special day and they were able to drop ammunition and supplies and material to them. Jeff needs an airdrop, just like I asked you for an airdrop last year. Jeff needs an airdrop. He needs some bullets. So, you know, get on that website. Is there a way for them to contribute on the website, Jeff?
Yeah, there's a donate link on the top menu, too, and that'll take you through PayPal, either a one-time donation or a continuing donation. The fellow up in Alaska, Jeff Bowman, has set up the site for me. It does a lot of good web work. And then if you don't want to use the PayPal mechanism, you can send a check. My mailing address is there. The check should be made payable to me.
Check
or money order.
Make it payable to Jeff Dickstein and send it to the address that's on the donate page of the website.
Right.
All right. Well, you know, everybody...
Donations are critical, but there's also a lot more you can do if you don't have money. We need both.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's a people project, too.
I have the... bullet points there as to what has to be accomplished, and I'm more than willing to confer with people if they want to take on one of those as to, you know, how it should be formatted or what we need. But the bottom line here, guys, is, you know, it's our freedom. This isn't about me representing Bill Benson and Bill winning or losing. This is the most critical case that I've seen come down since I've been doing this, which is a little over 30 years. We cannot let the government get away with this type of abuse where they can charge you with a crime or with telling a lie and go into court and prevent you from preventing a defense. Once that becomes the mainstay, then we are absolutely under a total totalitarian form of government. And it's up to the people now as to whether they're going to let this happen or not. Those people are your listeners, Tommy.
That's right, and their neighbors, and their coworkers, and anybody else that we can get to listen to and to stand up and fight back. You know, the at stake here, just to give you an idea of how critical, you know, the first brick in a wall is generally, if that brick comes down, then generally the wall is gone. And that's why you're down to the last brick. Well, the first brick in the wall against totalitarian government was the right to due process that was specified and guaranteed by the Magna Carta in 1215. We're talking about 800 years of fighting to build this wall. It culminated in the adoption of our Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, which established our natural rights. All that wall is gone if they're down to that last brick. And that's what's at stake here. It's not just freedom of expression. That's one. But it's a right to due process, a right to be able to put your case on, right to your day in court. Am I exaggerating the importance of this thing, Jeff?
Absolutely not. You know, I've been doing everything I can to, this, and I'm doing that not because I'm getting paid to do it, but because it's just absolutely fundamentally critical if we're going to save this constitutional republic and actually have a government that is supposed to follow us as opposed to us following them.
And a government of laws rather than a government of men.
Absolutely. I mean, this case goes to the very concept of, you know, can some politician change the Constitution? Not that they're a whole lot concerned with the Constitution, but at least we have it in place, which is a rallying point for people to debate.
But if they change the Constitution, not because the people vote to have it changed, but because some politician decides he wants to change it, and the people have nothing to say about it, then our entire form of government is gone, and we're nothing more than a tyrannical dictatorship.
That's right. We're being ruled not by Congress, not by under the terms of the Constitution, but just being ruled by the fiats and dictates of bureaucrats. An oligarchy, exactly as was warned against by the Founding Fathers, both the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist. And that's a nightmare come true. It's a nightmare come true. We are way past 1984. We're way past an Orwellian existence. And now, you're talking about change, though. Let's remember one thing. We do have a right to invoke change. We have the right every 24 months. We have the right to fire every single congressman in the House of Representatives. And we have a right to fire one-third of the United States Senate. And so if we're going to be a change, let's start right there. But right now, the death throes and the battle is, in this case, with Jeff Dickstein, and he needs your support. And we'll be back with a few closing remarks from Jeff when this break is over. Stay with us.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp, I say, go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue, they starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made, go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
All right, and we are back. back, about to wrap up the first hour of this segment of the Life Reads Home. We've got Jeff Dickstein on. Jeff, I warned you that this hour was going to fly by awfully fast, didn't I?
It always does.
Yes, it does. It's like the frog said, you know, time's always fun when you're having flies. And so where are we headed here, Jeff? What are your prospects? Tell us what you think. I know that, you know, you're not one to really come out and just be outspoken about things. We'll have to drag it out of you sometimes. So where do you think this is going to end up?
Tough question. I've lost pretty much a lot of confidence in the court system. But basically what happens when you go to court is you have one defendant with one lawyer, and you raise one argument, and nobody really cares what the court does. If that attitude prevailed when Rosa Parks sat on the front of the bus, she'd either still be in the back of the bus or still be in jail. The civil rights movement showed that when the people mobilize and there's a strong political movement, and that's tied in with court action that's financed, what changes can come about. While we definitely live in different times, I think the same principles apply. If we can mobilize the Ron Paul campaign to get people to support this litigation, both financially and politically, if we can flood the court with the amicus briefs, if we can reach the people of this country and let them know what's going on, I think we can make a difference. And I think this litigation is the catalyst to do that because of the... I mean, forget about taxes. You're not going to reach a whole lot of people about taxes.
But when freedom of speech is universal.
But when you can't put on evidence to defend yourself and you can't talk about political issues, everybody understands that.
Should.
If we do away with the income tax, that's just icing on the cake.
Well, you know, the income tax, the true issue of the income tax is not the money. The true issue of the income tax is the 1,500 calorie diet that the federal government was put on when it was created in order to keep it from outgrowing its britches. And it's gotten way too big for its britches. And part of what you're experiencing right now with Bill Benson is part of that big bully approach of, I've got the power. I may not have the right, but I have the might, and I can shut you up. I don't care whether you have a right to tell these things. I don't care if you have a right to sell these things. I have a right to shut you down because I'm bigger than you. Now, the bigger rule, smaller, is where we started when we had nothing but clubs and spears, and that's what we were trying to defeat whenever we formed this country. Now we're right back to it again, aren't we?
You know, when you look at my call to arms document, I start off with discussion of the Declaration of Independence and reach the conclusion that almost everything that our founding fathers complained about is back again.
If you look at the Declaration of Independence, the vast majority, 18 paragraphs of that, contain 29 or more complaints, every one of which applies today. You know, that what they're doing to us, our states, and us as colonies would make the English government look pale. Well, thanks, Jeff. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you, Tommy. And one last time, jeffdickstein.com, a call to arms.
You betcha. You betcha. Everybody's got to go grab that mouse this time, not the muzzle, and let's get it done. Back in a few minutes with John Cottmeyer.